Listening to Tiffy Talk, and it is time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tiffy Talk. To hear more, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Tiffy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tiffy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be, because your voice counts and your story can heal you. I'm your host, Tiffy Felsenstein. And just a reminder for you, we are now live on Mondays at 7 o'clock. We pushed it up from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and we are going to be on at 7 o'clock every Monday. So remember that, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. My guest is Julia Kepler, and she's from Norway. And we're going to talk about her project, which has to do with, it's called After Honor, right? That's the name of your project. It's a research project.
Yeah.
And the big question is, why After Honor? Before you tell us what it is, I guess you can tell me what it is and why you chose this to be your PhD thesis.
Well, my PhD thesis is a part of this group called After Honor. And all of my colleagues in that group work with honor in various aspects of literature. So one of my colleagues is working with portrayal of or the picturing of honor in books about elderly people, for instance. And one is working on honor in Ibsen's literature. One is working on honor in Norse literature. So we have different entrances to the subject of honor. And my subject is fantasy literature, so I'm doing research on how is honor portrayed in contemporary Scandinavian fantasy literature. Like what gives you honor, what would take away your honor, and what are people willing to do to defend or not lose their honor.
Oh, and it's in Scandinavian societies?
Scandinavian fantasy series for young adults.
Oh, okay. So those are the three big questions that you are going to answer is what gives you honor, what will take away your honor, and what are people willing to do to keep their honor?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So let's ask the question of why after honor?
Well, as you mentioned, honor has many negative connotations. And I'm not saying that there aren't negative connotations to the word honor, but we also have many positive aspects of honor. Like, for instance, you can honor someone else by treating them with respect. You can honor war heroes or veterans, or you can honor, let's say, a dead relative by visiting their grave. That's a kind of honor. And you can show people respect, and you can have a lot of personal integrity. It's one way of having honor. Because before society, honor would have to be something external. It would have to do with your reputation and like how strong you were, how fast you were, how good you were in battle, how good you were to stand up for your family if they were attacked or insulted. But today, honor is more of an internal affair. So, like, are you willing to do the right thing even if no one's watching? That's what honor is in a lot of Scandinavian fantasy literature today, for instance.
I like that. Are you willing to do the right thing even when nobody is watching?
Yes, that's personal integrity, right?
That's huge. That's huge. Because if we had a society or a global society that would be willing to do that, I think we would have a totally different kind of world, wouldn't we?
I would think so, yeah. And that's why we do our research on literature, because, I mean, many people probably think that we just sit around and we read books and we, like, roll a dice and we say if the book is good or not. But we're actually trying to explore, like, the bigger questions related to literature, like why do we read at all? Mm. And I believe that, like, one of the reasons we do read is because, for instance, epic novels can provide us with some kind of secondhand experience that we could use to become better persons ourselves. So if we read about people with a lot of personal integrity, maybe that could inspire us to be better persons.
Or to have more personal integrity, exactly. Because like I was just saying, while I was waiting for you, we do manifest our thoughts. So if our thoughts are in that direction of being an honorable, then it automatically puts us in the mood to want to act in a more honorable way. So absolutely, that I totally agree with that. And I guess you really, there's no argument there. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember, so if you're talking about honor, there is, when my father passed away, we had in our town the last honor that we give to a person that passes away, which is to walk him from the place where he passed away, which would usually be a hospital, to put him in the coffin there. And then the last honor you can give him is to walk him to the gravesite. And so the entire town would follow the ambulance that carried the coffin. And if he was somebody popular, you would have tons of people behind them. And if he was someone that wasn't so popular and people didn't know, you would have less people. But either way, the people that loved him and respected him would give him that last final honor. And so I didn't know my father passed away. Nobody told me. I was 8 years old. I mean, I suspected something was wrong. But I don't know. Nobody felt the obligation to come and tell me, which I think was very dramatic for me. So I was sitting across the street playing with my friends, and I see a funeral procession, which I knew that meant that everybody's walking at somebody that died to the burial ground. And I innocently, I turned to my friend and I said to her, "Who are they walking? Who died?" And she looks at me with horror and she goes, "Your father." And of course, at that moment, I knew it was true because I had already suspected that something was wrong. I was 8 years old, but I wasn't stupid. And my entire world literally collapsed right in front of me. I think I started screaming so loud that they probably heard me till the end of the other side of the city. And that trauma affected me for so many years, not just because losing your father as a child was difficult, but finding out while they're doing the honor walk without even knowing makes it like a million times worse.
Yeah, of course.
So now when I think about it, yeah, that's a form of honoring someone specifically or the last time you can honor them. So so looking at it from your perspective of why after honor, it really all of a sudden brings to light all those things that we do for honor that we're not even aware that we do.
Exactly. If you would honor your national anthem, for instance, by taking off your hat or even holding it in front of your heart, that's one way of honoring your national anthem, right? At a baseball game or at your 4th of July celebration or whenever, right?
Exactly. So let's answer the three big questions that we ask, which is the first one is, what gives you honor?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. In these books that I read or research, for instance, in some societies, being a good warrior would give you honor. As you know, probably know, in many fantasy books, They use like a Viking Age inspired backdrop to it.
Right.
So you would have the same kind of weapons, the same kind of clothing, and also to some extent some kind of, or the same kind of honor ideals. So with some of the characters, being a good warrior would give you honor and a good name. Well, in other characters, we find that power and glory, that's the kind of honor that they're seeking. They want respect from their peers, and they want respect from others in their society, and they're willing to go pretty far to get that kind of glory or like a post reputation. For instance, they want to have like statues, and they want to have books written about them, right? Because they're willing to go pretty far to even to kill someone. And then you have the characters in the books that I'm writing about who are not willing to take a life to have honor, for instance, who would treat everyone with respect no matter what family they're from, how much money they make, what they have or not have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they treat everyone equal, and that's their kind of honoring other people by treating mm-hmm. them with respect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. So that's what you look for when you read literature. You look at the character, you see his behavior, and then you break down. Basically, when you say honor, you mean honor, respect, glory, power, and for people to basically really remember you. Whether they remember you on a positive or a negative note, it's still remembering you, so they're honoring your memory.
Yes, and also you have the personal integrity aspect of it also. Like, for instance, in, I don't know if you've read the Harry Potter books or seen the movies, maybe?
I haven't read it or seen the movies because it's just not my thing, but believe me, I know enough about it because it's
okay.
Everywhere. Yeah.
But, for instance, in those books, you will see that Harry Potter, the main character, often has the opportunity or the possibility to have like great power. For instance, when he gets the magical elder wand, the magical wand in the world, so he could rule, right? He could have glory, and he could be a ruler. But what does he do? He breaks it in half and throws it away because he doesn't want to have that kind of power, or he doesn't really want glory. He just wants to be a regular guy, right? He wants to have his friends, and he wants to do the right thing. That's one kind of honor or personal integrity that we see in a lot of contemporary fantasy literature.
Right. Okay. So when the honor comes to him, he's like, no, I'm not interested. I just want to have a regular everyday life.
Something like that.
Yeah, you've seen lots of heroes do that in different kind of plots and different kind of stories where they realize... When you actually take on that kind of responsibility, I think I read this book called The Reluctant Messiah, which was the same idea. This guy is approached as, you're going to be the Messiah, and he's like, oh, no, I'm not. Not interested for me, because that's not a good place to be, like a Messiah. Well, look what happened to the less so-called Messiah. They hung him on a cross. They abused him. They, you know, it's not as fun job. So I get that. So that's a really good way to answer that. So the second question that we ask is, what will take away your honor? So what kind of things can happen to take away your honor?
To take away someone's honor, with the old Vikings, for instance, if somebody insulted you or your family, and you did not stand up for them, you didn't take revenge, or you didn't kill someone in their family, the other family who insulted yours, that would take away your honor, for instance. And also, if you did not show up for a battle that you were supposed to be in as a coward, that would take away your honor and your family's honor. We see that in some of the contemporary literature as well, that keeping your word, for instance, if you don't do that, not just in books, of course, but in real life too, like you will get a bad reputation, right? If you keep on skipping your appointments with your friends or whatever. So being a man or a woman of your word, that will give you honor.
Mm-hmm.
But to not fulfill those obligations will take away honor in a contemporary society or in many societies.
So basically, the idea of taking away your honor is sometimes taken to the extreme of, I have to kill someone in order to restore my honor back.
Exactly. Well, that was what it was like in the Viking ages, which I'm reading a lot of about the Icelandic sagas. That's why I keep referring to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we do see some traces of this kind of honor culture in today as well.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, not as much killing as it used to be for like 1,000 years ago.
In more societies and in more cultures. Now it's not in that many cultures. It's still, there's still leftover, but not in too many cultures, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So so that's when you question the idea of honor. Like, is someone's life really worth it? Is honor really important?
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously it is to them. So, yeah. Okay, so then the third question is, what are people willing to do to keep their honor? So we already said they're willing to kill sometimes. Is there other ways of restoring your honor that we see in any literature?
Well, it depends on what kind of honor it is, but, revenge is one way to regain your honor or not have it taken away from you. Let's see. I don't know. I can't really think of any, great examples from American literature at the moment,
so revenge. Revenge again, coming back to, okay, I'm going to kill someone. Like my daughter disgraced and took away the honor of my family, and if I kill her, that will be the revenge. That will bring back the honor. But also, revenge, you mean just doing different kinds of things, maybe taking away people's income or finances or something like that, or breaking them.
Well, I guess. And also you can restore your honor by doing the right thing, I guess. Like if you have done something wrong, which will bring you shame or maybe even shame on your family,
mm-hmm.
you can try to make it right again. That's one way of trying to restore honor. If you have insulted somebody, you can say you're sorry.
Oh, right. Exactly. That's a simple one.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty, everybody could do that, right?
You would think so, but some people find apologies very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's not as simple as just, it should be, but it's not always. As you can see in a lot of literature that you read, when somebody does something and they want to apologize, first of all, the apology is not always accepted, but also the idea of apologizing seems to be a very difficult task for people to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also you can, if you have been accused of, theft, you can restore your honor by proving that you didn't steal what somebody said you stole, right?
Right. If you didn't do it. Yeah,
you can prove your innocence, and that's one way of restoring your honor.
True. I think it's a fascinating thing to look at in societies because it's also a way to kind of maybe see what a lot of societies have in common instead of what they have that's different, and maybe bring people together more.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, so that sounds great. I think you have a lot of great things that you're going to discover. So what are you going to do with your PhD? After you get it, what's the goal?
Well, after that, I have to defend it.
Uh-huh.
That will be kind of scary. I will have to defend it in an auditorium with a bunch of people. But after that, I'm hoping to be able to teach literature and to future teachers and kindergarten teachers.
So you want to be a teacher?
Yeah, in a college and university.
Ultimately, yeah. So what do you mean by defending it? How will you defend it?
Well, you have opponents who will question aspects of your thesis or your dissertation, and you will have to defend yourself, and you will have to prove that the things that are in your dissertation are actually your original ideas and that you didn't steal them from somebody else. So it's like a 3-hour long oral exam with several opponents trying to... trying to, pick your thesis apart seek it. Maybe it wasn't really you who wrote all of it, or maybe you stole something from someone, or, well, it's kind of scary.
So it is. Well, anytime somebody questions your integrity and your honor, it's very scary.
Exactly. So it would be like a meta level to it all, because they will, you know, they will see if I conducted my thesis honorably, right?
Everything really, when you think about it, everything comes down to honor. You know, you take a test and you cheat, then you have to, that's being dishonorable. You write a thesis and you plagiarize and you get other people's point of view. That's like dishonoring yourself. And so you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to stand up and defend your honor at the end of researching all this honor.
Ironically, yes.
And I think, honestly, that by the time you finish your research and write it, you're going to be such a huge expert on honor that it's going to be a breeze for you. It's going to be, oh, yeah, no problem.
Well,
it will, because it is original. It is your research. You are reading those books. You're not having other people read it for you.
And oh, yeah, I'm not planning on cheating.
No, exactly. So it should be pretty easy, except that it's intimidating. The idea of it, I think, is intimidating. Just the idea of someone is going to question me about it, and now I have to defend it, and you're going to have more than one. It's almost like you're battling against more than one person. It's really not a fair arena.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole committee of, like, three people.
And you, right? Against you.
Yeah.
I think that's what's intimidating, not the question itself, because there's really no question there. You didn't do it. You didn't do anything that shouldn't be done. So it's really not even a matter of defending it. It's a matter of opening up and allow, giving the transparency.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of what you've done. So I guess part of your work is to really be defending it as you go along.
Yeah.
Not wait until the end.
Right.
And then you're going to teach at the University of Oslo?
Well, I don't know that, but that's like my dream is to work with the future teachers and future kindergarten teachers and work with literature and to hopefully show them what kind of literature children should read, or children and young adults, I guess.
Are you interested specifically in children because of the fact that they're children, or teachers that teach children, not the children themselves?
Yeah, the teachers that teach children, yes. That's my goal.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting, and also I think it's something that we really need, because not many people think about the teachers that teach the children are so much more important than the children than approaching even teaching the children, because then you're more on a math level.
Yeah. So I want to get up there and teach the teachers about what good literature is and what it can do for and to children. Like, yes, we've been talking about honor, for instance, is everywhere in the society, and like on a regular day basis, you would have to relate to honor in some way. And not just honor, but also other big ethical questions about what is right and wrong, how do I lead a good life, stuff like that. It's all there. It's in the books. And if the teachers can give good books to children, I think we will have good and empathic citizens on a long-term basis.
Right, and that will assure our future, which is basically the most important thing that we have. So that's a really great thing. Do you think you'll stay in Norway, or you might want to maybe come and work throughout the world globally?
Well, my field is Norwegian or Scandinavian literature at the time being, but who knows?
Never know what life is going to bring you, right?
Right.
Well, that sounds fascinating. We want to hear what you're going to be up to and how things are going to be progressing for you. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been really enlightening.
Thank you.
See, you bring awareness to something that people don't necessarily think about so much. And that's what's so wonderful about that.
Yeah.
So now you're visiting in New York, in the United States, and what are you doing here? What was the purpose of this visit?
The purpose was a seminar that I attended on media and old and new media forms. And so I gave a presentation or a speech there. So I've, for the past couple of weeks, I've been trying to work that into an article that I can use for something. So that's what I'm doing here. And also I have family here. So they're like after hours, they're showing me New York and I'm enjoying myself very much here.
Yeah. So what do you like the most about New York?
Well, I come from a pretty small town near the coast in Norway, so it's obviously a very different city. And it's more intense. You guys have more action than in my hometown. So it's an exciting city, and it's like it's for everyone, and everyone can find something, I guess, here for them. Like whether you're into museums or sports or arts or parks or whatever, New York has something for you, I guess.
Yes, that's a really positive view. I like that. Is there anything about New York that you don't like?
Well, you have more rats than we have in my official town. But apart from that, I'm pretty excited about New York, so I can't really think of anything negative at the moment.
Well, that's a good thing for New York, being that I grew up here and I did everything in my power to escape New York. I guess I will take this as a good
thing. Oh, you did?
You know, we always want something different than we have. It's always like, oh, I'm in a big city, I want to be in the country, or I'm in the country, the big city seems so exciting. I think it's a natural thing to explore.
I guess, yeah, you're right.
Well, I'm really glad you're here. I'm hoping that maybe when you come next time, we can actually see you and get an update. Are you planning to return?
Well, I have Emily here, so I probably will return.
Awesome. So then,
I don't know
sure.
when, but probably.
Well, when you do, or when you're thinking on coming here, please let us know. But also, since we can talk on Skype, you don't have to wait until you come to New York to contact me. You can just contact me in 6 months or in 3 months when you have something that we want to follow up on. So we'll be in touch on email. Thank you so much for joining us and honoring us with your presence today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Have a wonderful rest of your vacation business trip.
Thank you.
And what I will do now is I will put on some music for people who want to just relax and enjoy the music. Contemplate what they're going to do today, since over here it's kind of still morning time. Maybe somewhere else where you're listening, it might be nighttime, so you might want to go to sleep with that music. Cecilia, Tackler, thank you. Tackler, thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
You've been listening to Tippy Talk with me, Tippy Feldenstein, and my guest, Cecilia Tackler, honoring us with the honor of being with us and telling us about honor in societies.